on, and you are listening to WMKT 1270 AM and 102.3 FM. And so, we have been looking at the book of Hebrews now for some time, and we have been in Hebrews 11 looking at the roll call of faith. And we kind of got stuck on the same scripture reading because it's applicable every day. And God has prepared for all the people that came to follow him. He prepared for them a city. So he's not ashamed to be their God, because that city is going to be so amazing. It will meet all of their needs. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and what it means to us, and how every passage was meant to meet some particular need of ours. And if we understand something on every page, our soul's needs will be met. And we thank you for this passage now in Revelation 21, as we read about where we're going to end up and what our final home will be like, and what you wanted us to know about it. And we pray, Heavenly Father, help us to live following the invisible God, reading the visible Bible, believing in the invisible Jesus. Heavenly Father, having the invisible Spirit work in our heart, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea, no more great mass of unsaved people. That's not there anymore. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Remember, New Jerusalem means, Jerusalem, the word means founded safe, the foundation of safety. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them, excuse me, and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. History is done. Part A. Part B begins now. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, we're going to go through this. I'm not going to be in a hurry. I always like to organize my messages, and today I'm sort of organized, but this is such a big topic, and there are so many amazing things. God has just in a very, God is so good at doing deep things in a few words, and so let's just kind of talk until we run out of time, hey? And then we'll pick it up next week. And so, verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, coming, descending out of heaven from God. Now, let's stop there a second. There are several things here. Again, every verse has many amazing things. He brings me to a great high mountain. If you've ever been involved in war in any kind or in any sense, you know that high ground is pivotal. That if you're up on high ground, you can roll rocks down onto the heads of your enemies. And if you're on the low ground, then you have to throw your rocks uphill. If you're on the high ground and you have walls, then you're in a fortress, and they not only have to fight gravity, but they have to, be charging up the hill, and you can just stand there and watch them come. High ground is safe. So this is a great high mountain. Remember that a mountain means a kingdom in the Bible, because every king placed his capital city on the highest ground available, and with water and with defenses. But this is the highest of all high ground, and we'll see how high this is. And he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem. Now, this is in contrast to what we just saw a couple chapters earlier. We didn't take time for it, but it's there. Babylon the Great. Babylon is a great kingdom, but Jerusalem is a holy kingdom. That's the contrast we're to make. And we're going to read in the next few words why it's better to be holy than to be great. The world thinks it's better to be great than to be holy. If you're holy, you're having fun, and you can't defend yourself, and you can't deal with bad guys, and you can't do anything. You're just a lump sitting there. But it's better to be holy than to be great, because you know that you're doing whatever you do for the right reasons, in the right way, at the right time, because your motives are pure and God is directing you. And so, our greatness comes from our holiness. It is, of course, again, Jerusalem, foundation of safety, and it is descending out of heaven from God. Now, wait a minute. We should stop right there and say, something's wrong. Because that is wrong. Because God is the creator of the universe, and heaven is his home. And whenever we talk about dying and going to heaven, assuming that we'd be going to God's home to join him. But that's not what the Bible teaches. In Revelation 4 and 5, we'll visit heaven, we'll visit God's home, and we'll see the grand ceremony where Jesus is given the authority to finish history. But God's home that he built will come down out of and from his home and land on earth, which is our home. And we will read a little bit later that this is going to have our names on it and be our place. So we're not living in his home. He's living in our home. That's kind of like me going out living in the doghouse with my dog. Because, you know, I'm the one that has running water, and I have all the beauty, but God is condescending to come and live with us in our home for eternity. Because he would be more comfortable in heaven, but we will be more comfortable on earth. God has always done this. You know, God used to come and walk with Adam in the cool of the day. Instead of calling Adam to come to his place, God came to Adam's place. God then committed himself, he condescended to commit himself to showing us grace, giving us victory over sin, making us holy, all of the covenants. God condescended to us and said, I will bind all of my future actions by my oath to you. This is the Creator doing this, but he's bending over and binding himself to us. There's just something wrong about that. Jesus came, the Son of God, and lived in our houses and wore our clothing and ate our food and talked with us and read our literature, condescending to us again. He was born a nasty birth. Every birth is nasty and hard. into our circles. He lived a life with us and then died our death, condescending to us. History will be complete when God condescends to live with us in our home. Well, let's continue. Verse 11. Having the glory of God. What's that mean? Remember the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus, Moses, and Elijah shone with the glory of God? Well, that's what that means. That here now, the holy city is shining with the glory of God. It is glowing as it comes down. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, but clear as crystal. This is the final, if we didn't catch it before, we're going to see it now. This is the final Mount of Transfiguration. The first Mount of Transfiguration was Mount Sinai, where Moses was transfigured when he saw the glory of God. The second Mount of Transfiguration, Mount Sinai again, when Elijah fasted for 40 days like Moses had, saw the glory of God as Moses had. The third Mount of Transfiguration was when Jesus and Moses and Elijah, all three, shone with the glory of God, telling us that someday Peter, James, and John will also shine with the glory of God. And here it is. This is the final Mount of Transfiguration. Verse 12. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on the gates, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. At my house, that the church provides for us, at my house, whose name did I put on it? I put my name on the house. No, my name is on the mailbox. You don't put anybody else's name on your house. You put your name on your house. And that is what God has graciously done here with the holy city. He has written the names of the owners on the gates, the 12 tribes, and not just the tribal leaders, but the members of the tribes, all believing Israel. This is their home. They belong here. Their names are on the mailbox. Verse 13, three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. There are four directions. It is a universal home for all believers. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Oh, it's not only for the Jews, it's also for the Gentiles, as Paul wrote. And that our names are there. Right now, Jesus said, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and where I go, I'm going to bring you to where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. But what is this? This is the place that Jesus went to prepare for us. And so, my name is on one of the mailboxes in one of the rooms of the holy city. Even now. Because Paul said that you are citizens of heaven even now. That even now, positionally, you are seated in the heavenlies. You have a post office address in the holy city. Verse 15. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, its length, breadth, and height are equal. So much. That sounds, you know, if you were just reading, you'd read right through there and never stop to think about what we just read. Let me tell you what we just read. What we just read is that the holy city is 1,300 miles long, 1,300 miles wide, and 1,300 miles high. It is the size of a continent. Now go back to verse 10, to a great and high mountain. It's not only a mountain, it's probably more like a plateau so that a city can sit on it. But it is a monstrous mountain because a continental-sized city is going to rest on it. Notice that it is a cube. Why is that important? Because the Holy of Holies is also a cube. This city is now not only the final mount of transfiguration, this city is the Holy of Holies, where God lives. Oh, and whose name is on the door? Our names are on the door. We have a place there. This is the Holy of Holies, and yet we belong there. It is for us. Remember that this was not so in the Old Testament. Remember that Nadab and Abihu messed up and God destroyed them. That Uzzah touched the Ark of the Covenant and God destroyed him. You sinners can't possibly touch God or see God or liberties with God. You are sinners and God is holy. But now what? Now the Holy of Holies is my home. Is that amazing? As I say, there's too much, and I'm trying to get a lot of stuff in here, so I should just give you 5 minutes to think about everything, hey, after I say it. And if you want to take notes, that'll help you later. The Holy of Holies is your home. Well, verse 17. Then he measured the wall of the city, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of an angel, because angels, help build it. And so the wall of the city is 200 feet tall. Now, it has always bothered me that you have a 200-foot wall. Before I go any further, is that a tall wall or a short wall? Just taken by itself, that's a tall wall. You know, Duke was sharing with us that the wall of Jerusalem was 40 feet tall at one time. And, you know, there were a lot of fortresses, and none of them got much over 50 or 60 feet tall because that takes a lot of stuff, a lot of engineering and a lot of material. And, you make something 25 feet thick and 50 or 60 feet tall, that's a monstrous wall. Well, this is 200 feet tall, so this is far bigger than any king has ever had in the ancient world. Three or four times as big. But the city itself is 1,300 miles tall. So what in the world is a little smidgen of a wall doing around a giant city? Has that ever bothered you? It bothered me. So let me give you just a couple of thoughts here. The holy city is not constructed for what people used to be. The holy city is constructed for what people will be. And remember, we will have bodies as Jesus had. And that we will have bodies that cannot be hurt, that cannot be destroyed, but bodies that can do what some of the things that Jesus did, as in walk through walls and appear suddenly and go from heaven to earth in a moment. You know, some of those things that Jesus did. And so the holy city is not constructed with elevators because we won't need elevators. We won't need stairs. We can go up and down stairs, but we won't need them. And so the holy city may well be not just one interconnected, set of buildings, but it may be a spatially diverse buildings. It may be a collection of buildings that are separate from each other, possibly with walkways between, and they're calling them streets, they're streets of gold. So this city is something beyond what you and I can imagine. But and in a little bit more, we'll talk about what that 200-foot wall means. Verse 18, the construction of the wall was of jasper, and they had a mineral of called jasper back then. It was like a green quartz-like stone, generally, and so the glory of God is an emerald rainbow, and here the city is kind of greenish. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. We call that translucent. You see color, but you can see through it, so it is translucent gold. Verse 19, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. That's the second time he told us that the streets were translucent gold. Now, what are the gates? We've sung about the pearly gates. The gates are pearls. They're not pearly, they're pearls. Now, I don't want you to think too much about what clam made them pearls. Because Seashell City will send out an expedition looking for that there clam. But God is the creator. And he made the pearls. Remember that Duke taught us in Wednesday night Bible study that pearls were the most precious stone of the ancient world. And if you wanted to show off your fabulous wealth, you would disintegrate your pearl in a liquid and then pour it into your wine and then drink the pearl. Because that you were so wealthy, you could burn $1,000 bills. That's what you were doing. Now, let's think about that for a second, though. On the walls of the city are pearls. And are jewels. And then the gates of the city are pearls, and the streets of the city are gold. And so here you have all of the best of sea and land here in the holy city. It's made of gold, which can never wear out, you know, or corrode or rust. The jewels will never corrode or rust or dry up or pass away. And the pearls will never dry up or corrode or pass away, just like our bodies. And so this is the best of the best of earth that God has placed here. Well, let's run down to verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Remember in Ephesians, Paul said that the church was the temple, and you are stones in the church. But in 1 Corinthians, Paul said that each of us are the temple. And so, God and his Son are the temple, but guys, we are in Christ now. We are connected to God now. We are the children of God now. We are the temples of the holy city. Remember that this is the final Mount of Transfiguration, and that everything in the city is glowing, including us, because we are shining with the glory of God. Verse 23, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, his glory, the city's glory, and our glory, his glory in us. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved, who are safe, shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory into it. See, we will be shining with the glory of God. We will be dressed in light, and we will bring our glory and honor into the Lord. Verse 25, the gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't need to close the gates because there are no wicked people running around ever anymore. Chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. I tell you what, you don't know what that means until you don't have any pure water to drink. You're out hunting or fishing and you lose your way and you have no water. We're always around water today. But if you're having an adventure, sometimes there's no water. Then you start to get pretty thirsty. And if I don't have water, I get gout pretty quickly. So I'm always making sure I'm near water, I have water. Clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. They shall see his face, because their home, the Holy of Holies, is where he lives now. And his name shall be on their foreheads. They will be like him. He will exalt us to his home, his body, his throne, and his nature. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever over the universe. Ah, isn't that amazing? Well, there's the thing. These are all interesting details, and already we've seen some wonderful things. But every detail here was meant to tell you something about eternity and about God and about yourself to make you say, that is going to be pretty good. That is worth what I'm going through right now. If you want, if you wished, you could drive in your car today and you could quickly find a city that is very dangerous. You know, Grand Rapids is a little more dangerous than it used to be, I guess. I used to live down there in the heart of the inner city and had no problems anyway. I did hear gunfire once in a while, but that had nothing to do with me. So that was good. But we go today and travel to Chicago. Walk through the wrong neighborhoods and be in fear of your life. And drive through the wrong neighborhoods and be in fear of your life. Because they have socially engineered Chicago so that you have no personal protection. And having no personal protection, people can take pot shots at you anytime they wish. There are people all over the world who feel very unsafe at this moment. In the magazine Christianity Today this last month, they had a dramatic picture. It was an amazing picture of a shipload, a small boat of refugees trying to get off of the boat and on dry land there in Greece. And the men of Greece were taking babies and helping kids get across. And there was a woman sitting down, and her friend was trying to help her get up, but the woman sitting down, she had a look on her face, I don't even want to get up. It's just all too much of a nightmare. What does the name of Jerusalem mean? Foundation of safety. And over and over and over, if we didn't catch it, God has told us through these little word pictures that we're going to be safe. Remember, and if you have a handout, if you have a bulletin, and there is a handout on the back side, you can look at it if you like. Take that home and think about it. You're going to be safe. First of all, you are perfectly saved by a perfect Savior and a perfect High Priest, God Himself. We've seen that in Hebrews. We saw that we're going to have perfect bodies, just like Jesus' body, that cannot be hurt, cannot die, cannot get sick, cannot grow old, and cannot ail. We will be safe. We saw that it's going to be on a high mountain. It is the ultimate kingdom. No other kingdom has ever had the kind of safety that this kingdom will have. We saw that it has a high wall, 200 feet high, much higher than any other wall in history. We see that there are angels at every gate. Yes, they're only greeters now, but if there was ever needed to be defense, they can do it. Did you catch the statements? Twice, God assured us that no wicked person will ever enter this city. That this is the city where only believers, only the regenerate, only people who have the nature of God in their hearts are welcome. You don't ever have to worry about the people in this city. And then finally, we see that it is all light all the time. Look at 21:11, having the glory of God. What? Shining with the glory of God. Verse 23, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. Verse 24, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. We are going to walk in the light of God's glory. Verse 25, the gates will not be shut at all by day, and there is not going to be any nighttime there ever. It's never night. Verse 26, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. God's glory, they will shine. Chapter 22 and verse 5, we are told one more time, there shall be no night there. We won't need light from the sun because God is going to give us light. What is the point? The point is, there's a couple of points, but the point is that there are no dark alleys in the holy city. You don't have to look under your bed because there ain't nothing there. It's light all the time. I remember lying in my bed as a child saying, I wonder if there are mice playing on the floor right now. And if I got up to go to the bathroom, what would happen? What would I step on one? We won't have to worry about that there. There will be no bad guys stalking the alleys. There will be no phobias of any kind. Whatever phobia it is that you have, you will not have it there. There will be no need for it there. There are people that can't stand, you know, they have a fear of the open spaces. Maybe I'd have to see one for me to understand that fear. But I've never had a fear of an open space. But we have a fear of confined spaces, don't we? Well, I think all of us can appreciate that. You know, locking in a closet for a week, yeah, I'd feel pretty awful. Some of us have when I was in my first church, a strong, big, strong, 250-pound linebacker kid was terrified of taking pills. He couldn't do it. And so he had to grind the pills between two spoons and take it that way. We won't worry about that there. We won't worry about rats. We won't worry about spiders. Whatever it is that you're worried about, you won't worry about it there. There will be no phobia. We will have total and complete and open fellowship there because there's going to be light everywhere, a picture of. We will know the truth, and the truth will what? Set us free. I won't have to hide things from my wife like I have to. No, I shouldn't have said that. But I'll be able to express anything in my heart to any of you. And you'll be able to hear anything that I have to say and express whatever's in your heart, because it's only going to be truth. Light shows us the truth about things, and we will only have truth. You can't gossip when there's only truth. You can't slander when there's only truth. You can't tell lies about anybody when there's only truth. But that is the point. You will be safe. He wants you to understand that. And so that's why these details over and over and over. Oh, there's so much. We're just getting started. I see our time is up. If you have never asked Jesus to be your Savior, God to forgive you of your sin, then you're not going to this place we're talking about. This is a place that God has reserved for his children. And remember, the wicked, the liars, the deceitful will not enter. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. We thank you for all these amazing things that you put there for us to see. Let us take comfort that where we're going is a good place. And all of us are going to die at some point, but help us to understand and to realize that death will be a great transition to the wonderful next step of your plan for us. It is not a thing to be feared, but a transition that is normal and natural. Help us, Heavenly Father, to think in terms of our eternal destiny and the eternal blessings that you have for us. And knowing that we are safe, help us make our decisions based on that surety. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's